I want us to go to a passage of Scripture that I believe will be very interesting to you. Now, you see, we're on number four of how to keep yourself from the wicked one. That is, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See, words give place to the devil. Words will either put you over or words will defeat you in life, depending on how you use those words. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me share with you what Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, the first two verses. He says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." Now listen to this. You see, sometimes people say, "Well, I don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth." But then you listen to them talk, and they say, "Well, you know, we're just sinners saved by grace." No, now wait a minute. You're not sinners saved by grace. You see what Paul's saying here? Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Then he makes a statement that on the surface looks exactly like a lie. And you look at it and you think, well, how in the world could Paul say, "Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man." Now, Paul is the one that traveled around the country, throwing the Christians in jail. He was standing there consenting to Stephen's death, holding the coat of those that stoned Stephen to death. And here's a man that says, "I've wronged no man." Now, how can he say that? Well, you see, he can say that because he's not the man that did all of that. That old man is dead. See, through the rebirth of the human spirit, being born again, Paul says, "I'm not the same man." Thank God for that. Praise the Lord. Some of you need to get a hold of that. And Paul, the first verse is cueing you in on how to do this. Cleanse yourselves. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, once you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, don't you go back and drag all that stuff up. This will put you in the hands of the devil. Let me say it this way. If the devil can get you to dragging up all of your old sins and all of the bad, mean things that you've done all down through the years, then that's all he wants to do. Because, see, he'll keep you ineffective as a Christian. There's some of you right now listening to this that need to forgive yourself. Others have forgiven you. God has forgiven you. But the devil has been on your case, and he won't let you forgive yourself. Now, you need to break free from that. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you love your neighbor, you're going to forgive your neighbor. Some of you forgave your neighbor, but you won't forgive yourself. Oh, yeah, I know I'm getting on some of your toes, but I'm just going to stand there because, thank God, the Lord will heal your toes. But you need to realize that the things that you thought all time was just making you humble is what's defeating you in life. No, you quit saying that I'm an old poor sinner saved by grace. You are not a sinner. If you've been born again, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. He's forgiven your sins, and you need to forgive yourself. Now, if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to have to forgive your neighbor. And if you're going to love yourself as your neighbor, then you're going to have to forgive yourself. Some of you haven't done that. You need to ask God to forgive you for walking in unforgiveness toward your own self. Now, here is a man, the Apostle Paul, that would be judged. If he were judged, he would be found guilty on every account of all these things that he did, destroying the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus himself said, you're persecuting me, not the church. He didn't say that. He said, you're persecuting me. Jesus called the church himself. But yet, here he says, receive us. We have wronged no man. Now, you see, this is where a lot of people allow the devil inroads in their life, and they don't keep themselves from the hand of the wicked one because they fall into the trap of the devil of condemning themselves over all the things that they've done in days past. Listen, when you've confessed your sin, when you've received forgiveness, don't ever let it cross your mind or come out of your mouth again. Now, it may come across your mind, but don't let it proceed out of your mouth. Keep the word of God in there. Do as Paul said, I have wronged no man. That's not me that did that. That's the old man, and thank God the old man's dead. Praise the Lord. Well, get a hold of that, and it'll change your life. Because some of you have been just drugged down into the gutter of life almost because of the things that have come across your path, the thoughts that have come, and you've entertained them. You see, you've entertained thoughts that, well, yeah, I did do that, and I did this other. Thank God that's over with. Forget it. Receive your forgiveness and walk in the light of it. Jesus said, if you confess, or God's Word says about Jesus, said if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That didn't mean that it left out some. No, thank God. All right, now let's go to step number 5. We need to cover these quickly. Step number 5, put on God's clothes. You see, one of the problems is that so many Christians don't realize that God has clothes. Actually, I want to read it out of Isaiah because sometimes we've, you know, just kind of skipped over it and said, well, yeah, I read that one time, but I really didn't know what it meant. Isaiah, the 59th chapter, let's begin reading there with verse 17. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Now, this is God's clothes we're talking about. This is God we're talking about. This is not just some man. This is God that we're talking about. I want to read that again, the 17th verse of Isaiah 59. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now notice, he says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. And some of you think, well, I'll tell you, I'm in the flood right now. Well, know what the word of the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Well, the standard is the word of God. The standard is God's word. And now let's go on and read verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in their mouth, shall not depart out of their mouth, nor out of the mouth of their seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. Well, praise God. Now, you see what he's talking about there? He says, the Spirit of the Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. Now, the standard is God's Word. See, because we read there, my Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, that is the standard. That is the standard he's talking about raising up against the enemy when he comes in like a flood. Now, this will keep you from the wicked one. Now, see, we've already dealt with this to some measure. For David said, by the words of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Well, it was by the words of his mouth, the things that he said. Now, notice, this is God's clothes. He put on a breastplate, a righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head, and garments of vengeance for clothing. Now, that's God's clothes. Thank God. Well, we need to put on God's clothes. When we put on God's clothes, I'll tell you what, the devil don't know but what that's God in there. But the problem is that, you see, some of us have not put on the clothing of God. We have not put on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the devil knows what God's Word says, and he knows that it's truth, it's spiritual law, and that there's no way that he can stop it from coming to pass. But you put yourself in the hand of the devil when you begin to quote and say the religious things that you hear people say from time to time that are absolutely, just simply not scriptural. You see, we are the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, you have become the righteousness of God when you're born again. Don't fall for that trash that you're an old poor sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you're the righteousness of God, filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You have the mind of Christ, and the wisdom of God is formed within you. Because, you see, that's what God has said about us. So if we'll say those things and speak those things, it'll build into your spirit. It'll make it come alive in your life. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now notice, not in yourself, but in the power and the might of the Lord. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Some of you didn't realize that you're facing spiritual wickedness out there. It's not the individual that you think you're having trouble with. It's the evil spirit that's using that individual. So you're up against spiritual wickedness. Now, if you try to deal with that individual, you're going to get in a heap of trouble. You need to cast down the spiritual wickedness that is controlling that individual. But notice he said, "Put on the whole armor of God." Now, we read in Isaiah where it says that this is God's clothes. He put on a breastplate of righteousness, clothed with the zeal of God. Well, you see, the zeal as a cloak. Well, now here he says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Now, that is one way of keeping yourself from the wicked one, as putting God's clothes on. I'll tell you, the devil can't tell but what that's not God in there. You get your helmet of salvation on, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with truth, and when you've done all to stand, Paul says here to stand therefore. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able," ye shall be able, I'm going to say it again, "ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Now, if Paul said you shall be able to do it, you just rest assured that you shall be. If you'll do that. But now notice something. It's not something that's just going to happen to you because it's in the Bible. It's something that you have to do. Now realize this. These are things that you do. He says you put on the whole armor of God. You see, you is the understood subject of all of this. You put on the whole armor of God. You do these things. You stand. You take the shield of faith. You quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one with the shield of faith. And you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now notice, these are all things that you as an individual have to do. It's not something that's just going to happen because it's a good thing to happen. No, it's things that'll happen when you begin to make it happen. Joshua quoted what God said, and he began to prosper and make his way prosperous when he did that. If he had not have obeyed God in that, Joshua 1:8, then Joshua would not have prospered. So you see, being obedient to God, I want to get into this now. Number 6. That is, obey God instantly. This is the way you keep yourself from the wicked one. Obey God instantly. Now, let me remind you of the children of Israel, that God told them, "The land is yours, go in and possess it. I've given it to you. It's yours. Just go in and possess it." Well, did they do it? No, they didn't do it immediately, did they? They sent in the spies. Two of them came back. Joshua and Caleb said, "Yeah, we're well able to do it. Let us go up at once. Let's obey God now," they said. But the 10 spies came back, had a defeatist image. They came back saying, "There's giants over there. We can't do it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight." Well, they had grasshopper vision. Now, some of you are going to have to get rid of that little eye vision that you have when it comes to the Word of God. Now, I know that we are nothing within ourselves, and we're not to put ourselves up as being something. But notice, Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He didn't say anything about being that way in yourself. So you need to begin to voice what God said about you in these matters. Now, being obedient to God, there's one step that I want to get over before we finish this, and that is obeying God instantly. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want us to read a passage of Scripture that will change your life if you'll be obedient to it. But now, you see, if you just hear it and walk off and say, well, yeah, I know that the Bible said that, but, and then go on with something, why, then it's not going to work for you. But if you'll do this, it'll change your life. See, there's so many things we could say about this. If we covered the whole thing here, this would go on for several weeks. But I feel impressed of the Spirit of God to close it out with this. And I believe we have covered some of the major areas on keeping yourself from the wicked one. And I believe this is the most important. Let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and start reading there with verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, now not unworthy, but unworthily. In other words, it's the manner in which he partook of it. In other words, he's telling the Corinthians there, don't come to just eat in church. If you're hungry, eat at home. Use this the way the Lord said to use it. He's not talking about being unworthy. He's talking about unworthily. It's the manner in which they took it. He said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, or in an unworthily manner, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He said, many of you asleep are dead. Many are dead because they have not done this. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. In other words, God, through His Word, will chasten us. Now, here's what the Spirit of God is showing me in this, and this will help you tremendously if you'll do it. You come before God periodically, at least once a month, and take the Word of God and lay it out before you and judge yourself. Before you take the Lord's sacrament, you do this. You judge yourself. Lord, you show me where I've missed it in any area. I'm willing to repent, and I'm willing to make it right now in the name of Jesus. Because Paul says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, many are dead because they wouldn't judge themselves. He goes on and says, if you'll judge yourself, you won't be judged. In other words, God won't have to judge you, and you won't be judged with the world. Thank God that the world is not going to judge me. I judge myself. Now, I did this not long ago, probably just about 3 weeks ago. I took the Word of God, I laid it out, and I asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to me the shortcomings, the things that I was, places where I was missing it in my life. And I began to thumb through the Bible, and I began to say, now, Lord, you said this, here's what you said, and I'd read what he said, and I'd say, now, Lord, I've missed it in that, I've not been obedient to your Word in that area. I judge myself, and I find myself guilty, and I ask you forgiveness now. I've sinned concerning that, I ask you to forgive me. Now, Lord, I receive my forgiveness, and I'll be obedient to that. And certain areas, you see, where I had not meditated the Word of God, the Word tells us to do these things, and when we neglect that, you see, we're opening ourselves to the devil, and you give the devil a foothold. Well, he's telling you here to judge yourself, for there's many that are even dead and sickly. It'll cause sickness, it'll cause you to be weak, it'll cause sickness and disease to come upon your body, and some of you wonder, well, wonder why so-and-so, as they, you know, this happened to so-and-so, and they were such a good Christian. Well, maybe they were not judging themselves in some of these areas. Maybe they're walking out of love and they're not judging themselves. Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't go around trying to figure out why everybody is sick that's sick. That's none of your business. It may be because of this, but that's not between you and them. That's between them and God. You judge yourself. Now, get what I'm saying? You judge yourself. Don't turn this on other folks. This is where you open the door to the devil when you begin to judge other people. The Bible said, judge not lest you be judged. So, judge yourself. I'm going to read it again. Verse 30 and 31. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Well, judge yourself now in these things where you've missed it. Ask forgiveness. See, Christianity is not a way of perfection. Christianity is a way of forgiveness. Oh, sure, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it at times, but the Word of God tells you to judge yourself. And before you take the sacrament, the bread, which is symbolic of the Lord's body being broken for us, and before you drink the fruit of the vine, which is symbolic of His blood in the New Testament, in His blood, then you judge yourself. And then repent, whatever it is. Cleanse yourself by doing this, and it'll keep sickness from you. It'll keep you from being weak, many of you, and it'll stop some of you from dying prematurely. There's some of you going to die prematurely if you don't do this. You're going to have to judge yourself. Some of you are going to have to judge yourself on your diet. You're going to have to judge yourself in what you're doing to your body. Some of you are going to have to judge yourself on habits that you have. And if you don't, it's going to bring things upon your life because it opens the door to the devil. And then don't blame it on God. It's the devil that'll bring it to pass because you didn't judge yourself and you opened the door to the devil. All right, briefly, I want to run over these again. We've named six things here. One, of how to keep yourself from the wicked one. Being born of God, number one. Walking in love, number two. Number three, renewing the mind. Number four, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Number five, put on God's clothes, which is the whole armor of God. And number six, obey God instantly and judge yourself. And when you do these things, you will live in victory and God's power will come alive in your life and you'll know that you're walking in the will of God.
This is the end of this cassette message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. For information on how you can receive additional tapes and books by Charles Capps, just write to Charles Capps Ministries, Post Office Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046.